time, he will keep us unto the end. And I was able to put my confidence in him and grow. But there are going to be a lot of people who talk sovereign grace doctrine, who just want to rejoice, but they don't want to work and get at the business of the gospel. And so what Paul has been exhorting us through this writing unto our brother Timothy is to put our hands and our backs and our shoulders into action and not just our mouths. And so he says here in verse number 10, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. As you've heard my teaching, you've heard my preaching, you've heard as to what I have to say about Christ. As you've heard, it's all by sovereign grace. It's the gift of God. Imputed righteousness. Faith that brings forth good works. And you've also seen my manner of life. How have I conducted myself? All of you have observed me. And in some measure, I have observed each of you here. What is your character like? What is his conduct? Is he sneaky? Is he tricky? Is he a liar? Is he cruel? Is he unforgiving? Is he slothful? Is he unconcerned about the things of God? Is this person all talk, or is there action? Is there a conviction that leads unto action, unto good works? Is my purpose? What is our life all about? If I could ask you, is it bringing glory unto God? I was reading something from a man named Carson, and he was talking about how, and I'm in the books. If you want to be a preacher, read, study, observe. You know, it's a devotion of your whole life is unto the preaching of the gospel. Even if you have a job, is you're committed to it. Is you can't just be playing games. You have to be serious about this study of the gospel, that the Lord God might strengthen you. But this man Carson was saying how for many years he taught at the seminary, and he would ask men as it became time to graduate, what do you want to do? And the men would say, well, I think I have a gift of teaching, and I think that is something that I would like to do. I enjoy it. And he reproved them by making his statement that it isn't only about the things I enjoy. I may enjoy posting on Facebook. I may enjoy watching a movie, as I may enjoy doing this or doing that, or maybe going into the gym. But it isn't about as to what I enjoy. What can I do that's unto the glory of God? Now, he has aligned it that if I'm really living unto the glory of God, he's going to give me my joy there. I'll be walking by faith. I'll be in his strength. I'm not going to be self-reliant. I'm in the middle of the will of God. But see, that is what he's actually saying. It's not what do you enjoy? What do you want to do? It's what's unto the glory of God. And that's the question I would have you ask in your own life. And And as to how did I become a missionary? Well, one, I had to stand up in a church for a principle that is small in the eyes of some, but for me, I would have been disobeying God, and I would have been seeking the help of man instead of relying on God. And so taking that stand, it made the pastor to put me on the side and to not use me. And so for months, as I'm in the church and I begin to grieve and agonize because I have a gift. Now, as I'm preaching outside of the church, I'm on the street corner, I'm online preaching, I'm at the home with the addicts, I'm doing work, but in the church house, I was unable to serve. Well, that led me, and it was a good decision, out of that church into another ministry that helped this other man to plant a church. But as I'm asking him, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't have open doors. He showed me street preaching. Is he showed me Africa? Is he showed me to go and be a missionary? You don't have children. You don't have a family. You can go. He overcame the fear of death. He put me in a place as to where others who heard me preaching would ask me as to what am I doing and would offer me money to support me after I went. Often they didn't, but some others did, and they helped me, and my resources are available. But my point is this. I didn't do what I wanted to do. I asked God. So what is your purpose of life? As to what is your ministry all about? It may be something that you want to do is to be a preacher, and that may not be God's calling for you. And you have to look up, and you have to ask God. But as to whether I'm a preacher, or I'm a janitor, or I'm a butcher, or I'm a candlestick maker, that's insignificant. But what is significant is that our whole life is lived unto the glory of God. That means our whole life is lived to bring other people unto Jesus Christ. As he tells us to be blameless. Why? What's the point in us being blameless? That the word of God might not be blasphemed. That the opposition might not have anything evil to say about you. So that when you invite them on the church, so that when you talk to them about abortion, not in a condemning way, but in a way to bring them unto Jesus Christ. As you're talking unto them, it's about racism. But it's not just anger and hatred. It's a vow that you've made with God that my whole manner of life is to bring people unto Jesus, and I'm going to use it, my life, for that is the one purpose. It's not Paul's purposes, it's his purpose. He said, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may get this salvation unto eternal glory. Well, that's all of our purpose. Is your purpose, or is it marriage, or is it job, is it family, is it house, is it car, is it self, is it name, is it fame, is it glory, is it honor, Is it praise? Is it ease? Is it comfort? Is it happiness? Is it joy? Well, yes, I love joy. I'm an advocate of joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despising the shame. But his purpose was to give glory unto God, and that God, he has connected our joy, our real joy, our greatest joy, with a life lived unto the glory of God. Well, that's the harmony of the gospel. That's the harmony of God. That's the magnificence of the gospel, that as I live unto his glory and forget everything else and forget everybody else, husband, wife, children, friends, doesn't matter. I'm going to live unto the glory of God no matter what anybody says. That person is going to be living a holy life. He will treat his wife. He will please her as much as he can as he brings his glory unto God. He does. There's only one purpose, only one master, only one Lord, and nobody else's opinion has any value. Now, that doesn't mean you don't hear counsel, but based on the word of God, the only purpose in our life from here on out is to bring him glory. There is a coming unto Christ, and then there is a going out into the world with Christ to preach the gospel, to make disciples. That is the mission. If you're in a hospital bed or if you're in a pulpit, if you're an eloquent speaker, or if you are a prayer warrior that's so uncomfortable speaking unto people, is you still unto bear testimony unto Christ? If anyone asks you, I would meekness and fear. I'm all about that life. Are you and I all about that life? What is your purpose? What is your reason for? What are you about? If it's school, you're missing out. If it's job, you're missing out. If it's money, you're missing out. If it's marriage, if it's your family, you're missing out. The only purpose in life that's even worth being alive for, the only purpose he blesses with joy, peace, and comfort is I'm about Christ and I'm about that gospel. Can you say that in sincerity? Your faith. That means in trials. That means if you're up or down. I think I posted it either yesterday, probably. It was something by Mr. William Huntington, that his chapel burned out, and the building that they built to worship God, and it actually burned down after he mocked or reproved this other place that had burned down, and I learned a little lesson in that, to be gracious even in reproof of the wicked. Don't be proud at the calamity of your enemy, but even in that, you should use it as an opportunity to preach the gospel. But his chapel burned down. And when the news came, his wife was, you know, she was just running around the house. She's scared. She's crying out, "What shall we do?" Now, that's not to say that the women are the weaker vessel in the sense that they don't have spiritual maturity. If you look at Brother Samson's mother had more spiritual maturity than his father. If the angel appeared unto them, and the father said, "Oh, we're going to die." He saw Christ. He ascended up in the sacrifice. That's Christ in his pre-incarnate glory as a manifestation. And he said, "Oh, we're going to die." And then the wife, as the mother said, "If the Lord had been pleased to kill us, he would not have shown us these things and accepted our sacrifice." Look at the good side, honey. So it's a woman doesn't always have to be weak or perceived as weak. There are some women who are extremely strong, and I value them. As I read them, I will post their quotes. I encourage you sisters to be like them, to excel, and to be an example unto the men. Stand up. I reproved my brother, it's a correction that he's emphasizing that we need men. Yeah, we do. We need men and women. We not just one. Not just one. We need them both. Men, women, and children. Everybody come. Everybody stand up. Everybody's in charge, as our brother Spurgeon said, of spreading this gospel into the world as if I'm the only person that's alive. That's my life. That is your life. But Mr. William Huntington, as a wife is acting like this, he says, "Honey, slow down, baby." And he pauses. And he realized, hey, that the Lord God gave Ziklag unto David, and then he burned it down. But, you know, in that story, he recovered all. And Mr. Huntington said that he gave me Providence Chapel, and he burned it down. Our resources are still in God. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to dishonor God and complain. I'm not going to change my stance. I'm going to keep the same attitude as glory unto God. In the U.S., as we have a saying, it's a little bit annoying unto me, but keep that same energy. And so whether you win or lose, you're up or down, if you caught the ball or if you drop it, keep that same energy. Well, our faith is in God. What can happen to make our faith change? Has he changed? I'm the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So keep that faith in Christ, in the gospel, no matter what happens. And even as I say this, I know that I don't know what is around the corner. Is the Lord preparing me? Is the Lord teaching us this? Because he's going to bring a great trial unto me or you or somebody else that we share the gospel with? Yes. I'm going to be tried. You're going to be tried. And the people we preach the gospel to are going to be tried. And he's telling us that Paul had faith. He's human. He's up and down. But he had steadfast faith. Then it's for long suffering. And this long suffering is important because we have to deal with me and you. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, and I'm being humorous, but I'm just as much a man as anybody else. And I got faults, and I don't have angel's wings, and I'm not perfected. And there's going to be times and seasons that you have to suffer long, and you have to put up with Hashemah. Now, I don't want to make that a long journey for you. I don't want to make it hard and arduous. I don't want to be a burden, as I want to carry myself in a way that I lift burdens. But you and I are going to have to suffer together with each other, because we're not perfect and we're not in heaven. There are things in our personality traits as to where I'm strong in this area, but over here I'm quick and I'm short. I'm a good leader, but I have small patience. And under the gospel, I have to correct every area of my life, and there aren't any excuses. But I've got my weaknesses, and so do you. I'm working on myself, and you're working on you. And me and you are gonna have to fit together. As you've heard of the story in the Old Testament, it's the illustration, is in the building of the temple. And each of the stones that were brought in, it was without any tool or hammer in the temple. If you went into that temple, as they're building that great temple, it was quiet as a church mouse. Because all the hammering, all the hewing, all of the work, it was done outside. Well, that is the work of Christ. That's the precious blood he shed to make us a member of the body of Christ, of the holy priesthood, of this holy temple. But then, as to once we get into the temple and we're united as to with these other stones, all of us are living stones. It's the way that each of us fits is we have to rub, we have to get in there, we have to get put into place. It's the work. It was done outside by Jesus Christ. That's what makes us the body of Christ, and us to be members individually of this body. But we still have to fit together. And part of that fitting together is to suffer long, is to have patience, is to forbear. Brother Spurgeon said it was a man, as he went into a church, and he's new pastor, and there's some older deacons, and they're having problems, and he writes to Spurgeon. Brother Spurgeon said, "Forbear, forbear, forbear. As you get up in the pulpit and you deal patiently with the people and preach a gospel." And you have the advantage as a preacher of being able to set things right and preach the word of God that transforms people. But keep your character and keep your patience with other people. And the only way that me and you can actually keep going is if we forgive. Is the next word he says is love. Now, that's just a general attitude. Is he a loving person? Well, that's a person that you want to be around. He's sweet spirited. This other person is more quiet, is more calm, is they're more reserved, but they're still a loving person. They are still loving somebody because of this gospel of Jesus Christ. It is more than I'm bearing patiently with this person. It is more than that. Is that love is active. It goes out of its way to serve and to give help and to bring joy and to encourage and to lift up and to be a burden bearer and to be a shoulder and to cry on and to lean on and to help with the burdens, help to push with that burden. That's what love does. It's an active thing. Are you a loving person? This is something that we can grow in always. But Paul said, look, Brother Timothy, you see me now. And he's not bragging. And it's not bragging to say I do good works. There is this false humility that there isn't anything good in me. Well, that's a lie unless you are a non-Christian, unless you're unsaved. What Paul said was, in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. But on the inside, I love the law of God. I love God. I love people. And I need strength from the Holy Spirit to let me out of this cage and let me be who I am in Christ. And that's why we're looking unto the no condemnation that's in the gospel in order for the Spirit to come with power to let me loose and let me be free to serve God and be who I truly am in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, I'm a loving person. Don't ever look at yourself or anybody else but yourself as less than you are. It's time for us to take it. It's time for us to grasp it. It's time for us to quit with the false humility. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, be a man. And that applies also as to with you sisters. Don't be cowardly. Don't be doubtful. Don't be scared. Don't be hurting like you are a wounded animal and you have no helper. If you're troubled by sin, cry out unto God and get that grace that is guaranteed to make you overcome it, and then live on the other side of that sin, this side of the victory, on the other side of the mountain, is some green pastures. Let's cry out unto God. And this mountain is going to fight you. And it's going to come back from time to time. And you're going to be tempted sore. But you're going to conquer this sin, and you're going to overcome it, and you're going to get past it, and then you have to watch your pride, and you have to be in humility. But you're a mighty man, and you are a mighty woman of God, because the Lord our God is with you. You mighty man of valor. That's what he told Brother Gideon. Brother Gideon was saying, look, I'm the least in the smallest house. I ain't nobody. How am I going to go out and fight in war? But what the Lord, I said, what the Lord told him in the book of Judges 6 is, it's in verse number 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. So in ourselves, I'm nothing. Paul said that he is the least. He's less than the least of all the saints. But in God, in Christ, and through the gospel's power, I am somebody. And what Paul is saying is, I'm a loving person. How about you? And how about me? Let us consider as to who we are in Christ and then grow in it. First, you have to take it and accept it. Then you abound by faith in Christ, saying, Lord, make this to grow in me. I'm unstoppable through Christ. I can't be contended with through Christ. I'm an overcomer through Christ. I can change my character through Christ. I'm a man of God through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. That strengthens me. It's the next, he said, perseverance. That means it's endurance. As you keep going, as the door, it appears closed. But you keep knocking on that door of mercy. As you keep rattling at the knocker, as you're persevering in order to get this grace. But as to once you have this grace, this perseverance, it begins to show up in your life that you're not just tired. I tell this story all the time. I was at a track meet back when my sister ran track, and it was the mile. And so that is 4 laps around the track. And this boy, he ran out that first lap as if he was going unto the Olympics. But by lap 3, he had quit the race. No. Perseverance is, I'm going to be here unto the finish line. Paul didn't start preaching. And then when he got into some trouble, he went back home. John Mark, he went back home, but he came back. That's why the Facebook page, John Mark's, the John Mark School of Ministry, is because I identify with that person who obtained mercy the second time, who quit, who lost out in the race, who failed, but who God picked them back up and put them back in the race. And so Mark, the evangelist, he wrote scripture. He is commended by both Peter and Paul. That's, he is one of the few that was actually named by Peter and Paul. But he had quit the blessed race, but he got back in. He's persevering. It may be a time you have a team and this guy quits and you're angry at him. He's a quitter. But then he comes back and says, I'm in it. And you make him run extra. But he does it and he's back on the team. I've been kicked off teams, but I came back. I'm back on the team, coach. I'm here now. So persevere. Stick this thing out. It isn't only hot for a minute. Oh, I love the gospel. I am challenging some of you particularly to persevere in this gospel. Don't go back into that old religion. That the temptation is to be quiet and just to settle in, and I have a little bit of extra knowledge, but I'm in this church that's not preaching the gospel, and I'm just going to be going along with it because it is convenient and easy, and it's just being churchy, and it's comfortable, and there's music, and my mom is here, and I get to teach, but I don't speak anything overly clearly, and I'm esteemed as having wisdom, but I just sit there as the Lord God is blasphemed, and these other people are being sent to hell by false doctrine. That's not perseverance. Perseverance is I've heard the gospel, and I'm going to die for it, and I'm going to die to hear it. And I'm going to long to have it preached, and I'm going to worship God on its terms, and I'm not going to draw back. That's what Paul was saying with the Hebrews. Don't go backwards into the law. That is what you have been saved from. Don't get back into it. That's wrong. Persevere. Stand out. Be faithful. Keep going, no matter what happens. I got my eye on the prize. I'm going into the promised land. I'm going into Canaan. I believe I've been called to preach the blessed gospel, even if I don't preach unto anybody except on the street corner. I believe this is what I must do, even if they don't hear me. I don't care. I can't stop. I'm persevering with all obstacles. Oh, we need more of that. This is we are in our age. This era is we are too wimpy. Everybody is concerned about their comfort and their feelings and not in the warfare. They don't care about the attitude or results are in the gospel, let's go forward. They are looking for a comfortable place to rest their head upon a pillow. Am I going to sleep well at night? No, we got to go to war. And we persevere. We endure. Is we keep going. No matter the obstacles, we keep going. If you want something that is attainable, is you keep going. Is you go get it. Is you try. Is you knock down doors. You beat down doors. Is you fight. Is you finish. Is you don't stop just because you got a headache or you twisted up your ankle. If you ever run sports, if you get a cramp. Now, if you have a cramp and you can't go, you have to stop. But you only stop enough in order to get more strength, in order to keep going. I haven't quit the team just because I got a cramp yesterday and I had to slow down. Even though I have a cramp, And I'm not able to get out in the front, I can still walk. I can still finish. It's the rest of the team, they could already be inside. But I can finish the whole obstacle, the whole course. And in sports, is you normally wait up until the last person's done and you root them on. Let's persevere. Let's keep going in the gospel, not backwards, but forward, onward, pressing onward. Then the next thing he says is persecutions. Now, that's what happens over me and you preaching the gospel. That's what happens over me and you being Christian. That's just normal. And the more I understand it's normal and it's unavoidable, it's the more that I just preach the word and don't care what happens, who likes you and who doesn't. And you want everybody to hear. And so you preach it in love, you preach it with a smile on your face, you preach it with tears in your eyes, you preach it with anger, you preach it with patience, but you preach the word, and no matter what happens, you preach it faithfully, no matter what anybody says, and you don't care about their opinions because you're honoring God no matter what. Because that's where all of your peace is found. If you honor God, if I honor God, He will take care of us. And so when people hate us over the gospel, or they slander us, or they're malicious, they're hateful, towards our wife or of our children over the gospel, just count it as an honor. Don't do anything in the pulpit to avoid persecution. The only thing that you do is preach the truth in love. If you want to avoid persecution, then preach it even more lovingly. But clearly, don't even, try to beat around the bush and go over the mountain and it's so ambiguous, it's unoffensive. You have zapped it of its power. Preach it in love. Straightforward. That's one thing I like about John Calvin's writings, but all the great preachers, is they're just straightforward. It's afflictions. Now, the difference in between persecutions and afflictions is this, is a persecution's over the gospel. An affliction is something that happens as undoing the preaching of the gospel that's unrelated unto the gospel. Let me show you this briefly. It's in the book of 2 Timothy 11, not 2 Timothy, 2 Corinthians 11. There is a difference between persecutions and just afflictions. If I'm robbed on my way into Sokoto or into Zamfara, if we're in a car and it gets robbed, it's not robbed because they knew I was preaching the gospel. Nice to see you, Mark. It was robbed on the way for me to go preach the gospel, but it was not because I'm preaching a gospel. So from 2 Corinthians 11, and so Paul says in verse number 24 and 25, verse number 26, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's persecution. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. If you're stoned, that's a persecution. If you're shipwrecked, that's a suffering. It's an affliction. Now, if he's in the ship because he's being persecuted and he's in chains, that's a persecution. But just because is I'm in an accident in the car in between here and Zamfara, that's a suffering, that's an affliction, that is something that happened for the gospel because I'm in the gospel, but it isn't a persecution. And how blessed your afflictions are if they're over the gospel. If they're on the way to do the gospel. Because your car can break down anywhere, at any time. But if you're on the move to spread the gospel, if your life is all about the gospel, and affliction comes, they're sweetened by being able to cuddle up with the Lord and say, I'm doing this according unto your will, and this happened, and you sent it. Help me out with comfort, with peace, with joy, with the ability to endure it. And if our eyes are on Christ, so many of these persecutions and sufferings, we don't even see them or even feel them. If our eyes are on Christ and we expect them, I have to expect that if I come into Nigeria, I'm going to have to suffer some things that I wouldn't have to in America. I have to have that expectation. So if my eyes are on Christ and I'm doing the will of God, yes, I am suffering some things, but I don't feel them as acutely as some of the people who observe me suffering. I take it as a joy. I take it as a glory. I got my eyes on, or I can concentrate on something or somebody else. I'm in the work. And so Paul says in verse number 26, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. It's a robber doesn't know I'm a Christian. All he knows is he wants my bag. He doesn't know as to what I preach or what I do. He's a robber. But that's just part of the life of spreading the gospel. Is you can't think everything is going to be easy just because I am serving Christ. Think the opposite. Think the opposite. There are people who think to get into the Christian ministry because they think it's easy to preach the gospel. It's an easy life. Think the opposite. Think the opposite. Think the stress and the pressures and the hardship and the anxieties and the fears are only going to increase in some measure, and the help for sure is going to increase in every measure. That's what Paul says. back to 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse number 11, the persecutions, the afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, is the Jews, as they came and persuaded the people to almost stone Paul. At Iconium, as the Jews came and persuaded the people to persecute Paul. And it's the people he had preached to that had received him with joy were hearing the message. And at Lystra, as the Jews came and persuaded the people, and they stoned Paul, and they left him for dead. And so he's all disfigured, because he isn't a handsome man. He's been stoned to death. But he stands up, and he goes out, and he's preaching elsewhere, Acts chapter 14. And then he returns to each of these places that have pushed him out, and he meets as to with the saints, and he encourages them that through much tribulation is we enter into the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 14, I want to make sure that I can properly quote that. Yes, verse number 21, verse number 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, he returned to Lystra, that's where he was stoned, and Iconium and Antioch, that's where he was almost stoned, strengthening, verse 22, the souls of the disciples. That was more important unto him than his own safety, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, through his example and through his words, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Must through many and enter. And he says this here in 2 Timothy 3:11, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me, and he will until our time is done. Whatever happens, he will bring it out of us. He will bring us out of it until it's time for us to lose our heads. But we're not concerned about if we lose our head. We're concerned about the will and the glory of God. There ought be no place on earth that I will not go for the glory of God in the gospel. Because it only makes sense that I'm going to want to be as to where God wants me to be. That's where I'm happiest. Everything else is disobedience and sin. So we ought to ask God, what does he want us to do with our life? What does he want me to do? And then do it, not fearing the consequences. Let him deal with the consequences. That's his business. It's his supply of grace. It's our responsibility, and our job is to do what he says. And the Lord delivered me out of them all. There will be grace sufficient until the job is done. Verse number 12, yes, all, and it's a capital all, who desired who lived godly in Christ Jesus. Now, if you want to compromise, if you want to hide the gospel, if you want to do nothing, I mean, online posting is good. I post online all the time. But that's not all we're doing. There's a life that is to be lived. It's nice if you have an online girlfriend. That's great. But eventually, man, you want to meet her. And you want to embrace her. And you want to be married. You want to have children. You don't just want to have it online your entire life. It's excellent if we have online friends. But there's people around us who need to hear the gospel. Our whole life isn't lived online. There are people who are not on Facebook who need to hear the gospel. Our sister Cindy Mark, is she posted as she wants prayer for sound doctrine at her nursing home and at others. And so as I'm praying, I think, man, let me post this. Let me use this as an example to exhort the brethren. There is so much Calvinistic doctrine in our heads, and so few people are being actually preached to. As to where are the men that will go online, but will go into the rest home, into the hospital, into the school. There's so much freedom in Nigeria that you could go into a school and you could offer your services free of charge to help with chapel, help with a Bible study. The hospital in Nigeria, if you can go into any hospital, well, it's the ones I've been to are if they're not private, but you can go from room to room and preach Christ and preach the true gospel. As you meet with the nurse that's at the front, you tell her as to what you're here for, and they're happy to have you. And so at the jail, it's the women's jail. Do you know where Daisy heard the gospel? It was at the prison. I was going to preach at the prison in Asaba. And some other people came along. And she is one of the people who came, you know, just to be a part of the prison ministry. And what she, you know, it was her expectation is that I'm going there is to hand out stuff, because that's what they would do, is to hand out some soap and all the rest of these things. I just came with the gospel, but she heard the gospel there, and I didn't have her on my mind. It was on the prisoners, but I was preaching with tears. And I'm pleading with them. And this person hears. You have to be doing something. You have to be doing something. I spoke with this young man. This was pretty recently. And I've seen him online. And he's had some strong and encouraging it's some very positive words. And so I wrote him, what are you doing now? Absolutely nothing. I had spoken unto him, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4 months ago. He was hoping to do something then. He's still hoping. And the thing he told me was, I would love to work with you. What would make me want to bring in a person at my own expense And to pay for him to help me when he's doing absolutely nothing. Or to pay for him to travel to hear me preach. When he says he knows the gospel himself, and there is a multitude of people around him to carry the message to. It could be, if I saw him doing something, I would want to be a part of what he's doing. Not just to be loafing around. We have to be doing something. And if what's hindering us is I'm going to be persecuted, well, throw that thought out the window. You're going to be persecuted. Pray. I was reminded that I'm in the book. I talk about street preaching and how scared I am as I go, especially back home in the West. But as soon as I open up my mouth, I'm as bold as a lion from the first word every time. Well, that's an illustration. The fear, if you stop at fear and you head home, you're heading into sin, is you're going to be discouraged? Is your eyes are off Christ? Is you're going to go run and hide like Adam? You're going to be flipping channels on your television or on your laptop? You're going to be separated from God, and that is when you're going to be most tempted. But if you press through and preach it, is you head home like a lion? Is you head home rejoicing in God? Brother Timothy, you know this. Is you head home strong? And even if you failed, even if you stumbled, even if you're heartbroken, at least you get to head home and cry unto God. Oh Lord, help me to do better. But at least you didn't fail before you got started. We're gonna endure persecution, hurtfulness, hatefulness, harsh words. Even brethren who you esteem are going to be looking at you crossways and going to be looking at you sideways out of envy and out of envy and being jealous that you're doing something and they are not. But endure, and so what, and who cares? We're going to endure hardship and persecution. Let's get into the battle. And the only way to avoid it is to keep quiet and to not preach Christ. Is you're not going to be persecuted for being a nice guy, but it's over the gospel. It's over the gospel. Verse number 13, I'm always late at the end of the sermon. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. If you look at how Christianity has expanded, there are so many heresies. The Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox, the Arminians, of the Pelagians, it's the Antinomians, it's the Hyper-Calvinists. You got all of these heresies that have grown and expanded and have actually consumed Christendom. And you have a small remnant according unto the election of grace. And men who are imposters are going to keep on deceiving and being deceived. His ministry is just going to keep going further and further away from the Lord. You know, I think that it's some things which happen in Nigeria that would shock Paul. It was the thing as to with the pastor in his church, and he pretended that it was angels. If he had a camera and he had a, you know, screen, a huge curtain, it was all a fraud. verse number 14. But you must, now here's a good word. You must. There are people who don't like being ordered, and they don't like being commanded, and they despise dominion. They despise being told what to do. I'm that way by nature, but not in the gospel. In the gospel, me and you are meek and lowly and humble little lambs, and we take instruction. You must continue in these things. You can't stop. In the things that you have learned and assured of. And so are you sure? Are you sure about this gospel? Are you knowing that this is the gospel of God, that this is the truth, and that you're going to abide with it? I see you're here. Are you sure I'm telling you the truth? Are you sure this gospel of sovereign grace is the gospel of God? If you're sure about us, what you hear from Lawson or R.C. Sproul or MacArthur or Spurgeon or Martin Luther or John Calvin or George Whitefield or John Bunyan or Amy Carmichael or Harry Slessor or Jonathan Edwards, Augustine, are you sure? If you're sure this is it, then continue in it. Don't leave it. Don't forsake it. Don't be quiet about it. And you're knowing from whom you have learned them. I've learned these things from men and women who are faithful and endured until the end, and they overcame in spite of their spots and blemishes. And I'm going on too. And I'm not just going to look at these people as my heroes like, wow, I'm going to get in the race too. I'm going to get involved too. I'm in it. Verse number 15. And that from childhood, is you have your microphone on there, Sister Naoma. And it's from, if you write her, please. Our Sister Noma, is you have your microphone on. And that from childhood, it's you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not able to mute her. If you write her, please, and you help her to notice to have her mic on mute. Here is what's important at the end of this message, and I'm going to have to speak more on it for next week. It's the Holy Scriptures have a message. Hear this. It's important. Here is what is the whole basis. Yes, so that's Sister Kelechi. If you mute her microphone, if you're still there. But the Holy Scriptures have a message. And here is what it means if you have wisdom. It's to have salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's salvation through faith that's in Christ Jesus. And if you look in the book of Proverbs, it's a book of wisdom. But all of those proverbs are pointing us to Jesus Christ. It's a book I'm actually working on now, and I think it's my next book. I just finished with chapter 3. But everything that the wise man, King Solomon, is saying is pointing us to Christ Jesus and our salvation and our faith in him. Then you look at verse number 16 and verse number 17. This is what it says. Is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all pointing us unto Christ and the salvation that is through faith. But that's what it said in verse number 15. Now it says this, which is so important. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired. It's the word of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's not all promises. It's not all gospel in the sense that all of it is talking about the forgiveness of sins. It's also talking about the life of the forgiven. And it is also, it is commanding, it's reproving, it's instructing, it's warning. And in that book of Proverbs, it's, he does all these things to teach us wisdom and to give us wisdom on how to live the Christian life. Verse number, it's for reproof, or correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse number 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As you hold your hand there, it's for every good work, instruction in righteousness. And then open into the book of Proverbs 1. And I realize I only have like another half a minute. It's a minute or two. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. As we already saw from 2 Timothy 3:15, that to have wisdom is to have faith in Christ unto salvation. Then it's unto good works, instruction in righteousness, all scripture. Well, Proverbs chapter 1:2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, of judgment, of justice, of equity. He's telling us that the whole book of Proverbs is to teach us how to live the Christian life by faith in Christ Jesus. It's the whole message of the Bible is to teach us wisdom, how to live by faith in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's what Paul has been teaching us this whole time in the book of 1 Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy, how to live the Christian life unto good works by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ unto good works. And here's my last word for you. Every word of God is pure. Every part of instruction is necessary. It could be a warning. Don't say, I don't need warnings. Oh, yes, we do. I'm almost at the end, brother, and you can answer your question. It was long, and I wasn't able to see the whole thing. But every part of Scripture, instruction, reproof, some people don't like being reproved. It hurts, I know, but we got to do it, and we got to take it. It's in the Word. It's correction. It's instruction in righteousness. It's not just the sovereignty of God. It's human responsibility too. It's not just the work of Christ. It's the works that me and you do too. I'm justified by faith, and according unto James, I'm also justified. I'm also justified by works. Don't ever take a portion of the Word of God and say it's not needed. That's unwise, and it will do damage and destroy a major part in your life. Everything is pure to make us live godly and holy. Everything it says has a use, a command, a warning, instruction. If it's a promise, by faith in Jesus Christ, I'm to obey it all. The Lord bless you. I hope it's helpful. My brother George, and I believe you had a question. I see that we've lost Brother Kelechi. I don't know if the internet or as to